Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
There's no sin, whatever it might be, nothing that you have done, no matter how wicked, how horrible, how deplorable it might have been, there's nothing that He is not able to forgive us from if we sincerely come to Him and ask Him for that forgiveness. And if you do that, He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, He will come into your life, He will renew you, He'll give you a new life.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 14, verses 23 through 28, in a message titled, There and Back Again. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You see, wow, you know, that was the Lord. Only the Lord could do that. There isn't any rhyme or reason for this. From the human standpoint, you recognize, man, this is the hand of the Lord on this. Another mark of the mission is discipleship. You see, they made disciples, and that's really what, the whole mission is really all about. Because remember, Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all the nations. Now, you have to have people converted before they can become disciples. But once a person is converted, they're not necessarily a disciple. A disciple is something that occurs through the maturing process. So the mission is not to just go preach the message of salvation. That's where it starts. But it has to be followed up with teaching the new believers and establishing them in the faith. As I said in the beginning, that's what the mission is about. It's leading people to Christ and then giving them the instruction that they need to grow in maturity in their faith so they can become strong. And we read there at the end of chapter 14, it says that, verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. See, that's what it is. It's teaching them, helping them to grow. Now listen, you don't have to go on an international mission to do that. There are people all around us that we can have a part of bringing them to maturity in the faith. If you're an older Christian, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you've got a pretty solid walk with the Lord and you're pretty grounded yourself, you know, God wants you to take that and He wants you to use it with somebody else. He wants you to help others come along. But this is part of it. The discipleship is this is where the labor comes in. This is where the hard work comes in. You know, sometimes the easy part, easy is relative here. The easy part sometimes is you know, preaching the gospel, getting people to receive Christ. The hard part is to see them grow in the faith. That's where it takes the perseverance, takes the patience, takes the endurance. Because if we just lead people to Jesus but never see them go on to maturity, they will just struggle the rest of their lives. You know, when I was young, it was a long time ago, you know, God sent me and a handful of people on a mission into Eastern Europe. Now, at the time we went, we didn't really know exactly what we were even doing. We just knew that we were supposed to go. And so we went and we discovered that there were lots of young people that were open to the gospel. So as we began to share the gospel on the streets, these young people started coming to faith in Christ. And I remember after, you know, about 10 days or so of doing ministry on the streets in a city called Subotica, which is in northeastern, what used to be Yugoslavia, which is Serbia now. So we led these young people to the Lord. And when it was time to leave, I knew that if we just left them without any kind of follow-up, I knew that they wouldn't survive. And so I said to them, I gathered them together and I said, hey, listen, you know, you guys, and there were about a dozen of them. I said, look, you guys, you know, you've come to know the Lord. You've been with us now for about 10 days. You've kind of seen what we're doing. And I said, you know, I want you to stick together. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep reading your Bibles, pray with each other, encourage each other. And I said, within a month, I promise I will send somebody back to help you grow in your faith. I just knew at that moment that we had to follow through with that. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just made them that promise. So I came back home. I was pastoring in Vista at the time, but I came up here. I don't know why I came up, but probably came up to visit my in-laws or something. But I was here at the church and I saw a young guy named Mike Harris, and Mike was walking across the parking lot, and I had known Mike for some years, and I think he was 19 or 20 at the time. And I said, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, I think he said he was going surfing, because that's what Mike is normally doing, going surfing. And I said, you want to go to Yugoslavia? And he literally said, where is that? And I said, well, don't worry about that. Just, do you want to go? You know, pray about it. So he prayed about it. He got back to me and said, yeah, I want to go. So Mike and another guy named Shane and two young ladies, three, sent them there to Subotica, and Mike took up the work of leading these young people, and God established them in their faith, and he established a church, and since then, he's established about 40 churches in the region that are all rooted back in that first one. And when I went to Budapest, because we were doing the transition there in Budapest, we saw the completion of the cycle, and I think I mentioned it, but the kids that we led to Christ on the street in that first trip, they're the ones that are pastoring the churches now. And that's what happens when you do the work of discipleship, but that's what has to be done. And listen, I'm telling you stories that go back, you know, 28, 29, almost 30 years, but this same kind of thing, this is what we need all around the world today. And not just around the world. We need it in our own country. We need it in our own state. We need good, strong, solid churches wherever we can see them. So they made many disciples and they strengthened them. And all of this, and this is my final point, my seventh point here, all of this, as it says in verse 52 of chapter 13, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, all of this produces a great joy in our hearts. There's nothing like serving Jesus and seeing God work through your life and seeing God work in the lives of other people. You know, it just produces a joy. And there's nothing like it that I know of in all the world to produce this kind of joy as to just, you know, it's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy that he gives us. Of course, we have it just because we're the children of God as we think about our relationship with God and all that. But there's something special, you know, when you see God use you, when you see the work happening and you see people's lives being changed, there's just something that it just fills your heart with joy. So last Sunday, I preached at two churches, but they're in the same location, just different times. I preached at Narrowena Baptist Church, which is on the northern beaches of Sydney, Australia. And that was the first service. And then the second service is One Love Fellowship that is a different congregation, but meets at the same church. And the pastor of both of those churches is a friend of mine named Brad Hall. And so, you know, Brad was introducing me to the congregation that morning, and he got up and he was kind of rehearsing the story of how he got into the ministry. And, you know, I completely forgot about certain things. And as Brad was up there talking and telling the story, my point is, just to hear what God had done in his life and seeing what God had done in his life, I just sat there so filled with joy. I was leaving Calvary Chapel Vista to move to London. And before I left, I felt a strong sense that I needed to take, there were about 40 men in the church, I needed to take these guys and take them through, I think it was like a 14-week preparation for ministry. And I just, you know, sort of handpicked this group of guys, and I sent letters of invitation out to these guys. And Brad's telling this story. He said, I got a letter in the mail. He said, I never imagined that I would be one of these, you know, people that was selected to do this. And he said this, he said, obviously, Pastor Brian saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. So he would tell the story about how, you know, he was invited to that and he went through that season, and then that led him into an opportunity for ministry. Eventually, he left California, he went and he pastored in Hawaii for several years, 12 years in Maui. And at the end of those 12 years, about 8 years ago, Brad called me. He said he was thinking about coming back to California. He's from Huntington Beach and had lived down in North San Diego County for years. So he said he's thinking about coming back. What do I think? I said, well, Brad, you know, of course, you could come back to California. Sure, it's fine. But, you know, there's such a huge world out there. There's such a great need out there. I said, rather than come back to California, why don't you go to Sydney, Australia? Now, I, for the life of me, can't remember why I even said that to him. It must have been that Australia was on my mind at the time for some reason. But I said that to him, and he said, I would love to go to Australia. Now, I think him and I have a mutual friend who was a former pro surfer. I think that was the connection. We were talking about having a church that would be a blessing to them. But anyway, so, you know, we prayed about that, took the step, moved from Maui to Australia. So over these years, there have been like four or five times where Brad has called me and said, we can't stay here. I think we're out. My visa's running out. The government's not going to renew it. I can't, you know, get this, that. And boy, I'll tell you, every time it's just like, well, Brad, it's just hard. I would say to him, Brad, it's hard for me to believe that God sent you there just to, you know, have you do what you've done so far and then leave in discouragement. Let's just pray and trust the Lord that he's going to somehow break through. And he's always broken through. Well, to make a long story short, Brad and Christy, their kids, they all have Australian citizenship now. He's pastoring these couple of churches. God's doing really great stuff with them. And just to be there and to see that is so much joy, to see the Lord working in and through the lives of people that God has used you to touch or influence. And so what I'm saying to all of us is that there is much joy despite the opposition, despite the disappointments, despite the labor, the hard work, and all of those things that go into it. There's joy that just kind of overrules all of it. When you look at everything, you just think, well, Lord, you know, it was all worth it in the end to just know that you have touched these lives. And undoubtedly for Paul and for Barnabas, when they came back to Antioch, they came back with that report. I mean, you can be absolutely sure that the 1,200 miles and the 2 years and the persecution and even the stoning and all of that stuff, it was like, you know what, who cares? Because man, look what God did. And that's what I want us to grab hold of today. Man, the excitement, the joy of serving the Lord. Now, I want to close with two things. In the course of these chapters, like I said, on the one hand, Paul is preaching. We start off, he's preaching in Antioch, and he gives us a tremendous message. He says something in this message that I want to share. But also, they share with the believers an important word as well. So two words. First of all, to the believers, to those who have trusted in Christ. Chapter 14, look at what it says. Verse 22. It says, so they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, listen, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So I want to say this today to you as a believer in Jesus. This is the reality. The Christian life is a battle. It's a struggle. There's opposition. There's disappointment. And not only when you go on a mission, just as you live for the Lord. These are the realities that we face because it is through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. And I say that because we often get the wrong idea. And the wrong idea is that, well, if I'm really following Jesus, if I'm really serving Jesus, everything's going to be easy, everything's going to be smooth, there's not going to be any difficulty, there isn't going to be any challenges. Get that out of your head, because it just is not true. Now, there might be some preachers that will tell you that, but they're wrong. And they're not being honest with the scripture. It's through many tribulations that we will enter the kingdom, but that's why we encourage one another. That's why we strengthen one another. That's why we build one another up, because we will go through those challenging things, but that's just the way it is. And yet the Lord is with us. This is just part of it. And let's not forget this. And Paul said it to the Corinthians. Yes, there are many tribulations through which we must enter the kingdom, but let's not forget that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, when you weigh the two things, yeah, you're gonna have trouble in life, period. You're just gonna have trouble in life, because that's what life is filled with. It's filled with trouble. You can't escape it. But in Christ, there's a purpose behind it, which is not true if you're not in Christ. And there's a reward in the end. The sufferings won't compare with the glory that is to come. So if you're going through some tribulation today, be encouraged. Know that this is just part of the Christian life. Be encouraged. Know that it's a season. Know that it will pass. Know that God is with you. And know that in the end, there's a great reward. But I want to also take 1 minute and talk to those of you today that maybe you're here and you're not really sure about your relationship with Christ. And maybe you are sure that you don't really have one. And you recognize that you're a sinner. If you recognize you're a sinner today, you're light years ahead of a lot of people, because a lot of people don't even recognize that. They refuse to believe it. But of course, you can't be saved unless you're a sinner. Now, everybody is a sinner, but not everybody wants to acknowledge it. But here's the good news. Paul, when he's preaching in Antioch, he says this to them, chapter 13, verse 38. He says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, speaking of Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, here's the good news. The good news is that even though we're sinners, through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached to us the forgiveness of sins. Sin is our biggest problem, because sin, first of all, separates us from God. That's our problems are all rooted in the fact that we're created by God for God, but we're separated from him because of sin. But through this man, Jesus has preached to you the forgiveness of sins. So my sins can be forgiven, they're removed, and the barrier is taken away, and then I'm reconciled to God. I'm brought into a relationship with God. And Paul says that through Jesus is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And he says, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all the things which you could not be justified from under the law of Moses. In other words, what Paul is saying is, you know, under the law of Moses, there were certain sins that you couldn't, I mean, if you committed these sins, you were taken and you were put to death. That was the consequence. But Paul says that under Jesus, it's a different thing. In other words, what he's saying is there's not any sin that Jesus is not able to forgive. there are certain sins under the law of Moses you could not really, you know, you'd have to suffer the ultimate consequence. But not so with Jesus. There's no sin, whatever it might be. Nothing that you have done, no matter how wicked, how horrible, how deplorable it might have been, there's nothing that he is not able to forgive us from. If we sincerely come to him and ask him for that forgiveness. And if you do that, he will forgive you, he will cleanse you, he will come into your life, he will renew you, he'll give you a new life, just like he did to these people that we're reading about here, these Gentiles that were so empty and lost and void of meaning and purpose and everything else because they were following after idols that couldn't save them or help them. He'll do that for you today.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So Brian, we're offering a book from our good friend Charlie Campbell.
Yes, Charlie Campbell is the director of Always Be Ready, which is an apologetics ministry and
one website. We recommend a lot.
Yeah, we recommend it a lot. And this is a one-minute answer to skeptics. Now, Charlie has done this book, and this is like a revised version answering 50 of the top objections and questions, kind of current things. You know, things change over time. There are different arguments and things. And what I like about this book is it's an updated current addressing a lot of the things that people are kind of throwing out there today as their objections to Christianity.
And some of the topics that Charlie covers in this is, why doesn't God just appear to us in a public setting and prove he exists? Or the New Testament authors, did they steal details of Jesus' life story from other ancient religions? This is what some skeptics say. Or that the God of the Old Testament commanded the Israelites to commit genocide. Or that the Bible condones slavery. So these are real issues in our society today, and Charlie tells you a biblical answer for these things, and it's great.
Yep. So great little one-minute answer to skeptics by Charlie Campbell. That's our offer for this month.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by Charlie Campbell. You can order the book 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by going to our website, brianbrodersen.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by Charlie Campbell to help equip you to defend the faith. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. But before we conclude today's program, here's Pastor Brian with a personal invitation to Israel.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian, and I want to talk to you about our trip to Israel that's coming up in May of 2019. That'll be May the 5th through the 18th. It's a 14-day trip, and you know, you just can't beat going to Israel. As a matter of fact, I just returned from Israel, so I'm pretty excited about the trip that's coming up, and we would love to have you join us. On the trip, we start off, we go into the city of Tel Aviv, and we just relax for a day and get our bearings about us, and then we launch out into the tour. Our first stop is the city of Joppa, where Jonah left from, and where Peter was there and got the message to come to Caesarea so he could go to the house of Cornelius. And that's where we start, and then we head to the Sea of Galilee, and we're there for a number of days visiting all the sites around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus ministered and many of the other events that happened in that region, Old Testament stories. And then we head to the area of the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea, beautiful desert place, and we spend a couple of nights there. It's relaxing, it's wonderful, a couple of nice biblical sites in the area. And then we wrap everything up. The final part of our tour is Jerusalem itself, and we walk the city of Jerusalem. We go to all the pertinent sites, and the whole tour, everything wraps up with communion at the Garden Tomb. And so I'm excited about the trip that's coming up, and we would love to have you be part of this trip. Many, many people have gone with us, and many are already signed up, but we do have some more spaces, and so we'd love to have you join us. And you can find out all the information about the trip at israel.cccm.com. So pray about it, and love to have you join us for Israel 2019, May the 5th through the 18th, israel.cccm.com. God bless you.
We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.